the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and sfmsports.net welcomes you to this presentation of Hawk Talk Live. It's a 60-minute look inside the athletics program at University of Maryland Eastern Shore. This broadcast is brought to you by the Henson, United States Coast Guard, the Hyatt Place Dewey Beach, Courtyard by Marriott, Ocean City Oceanfront, Pivot Athletic Training, and M Street Grill. Now your host of Hawk Talk Live, Will DeBoer.
It is 6 o'clock on the Eastern Shore, and you're tuned into Hawk Talk Live. Tonight we are at M Street Grill off the exit of Route 13. Forgot the word for a second. In Princess Anne, just off of Route 13. And for the next hour, we're bringing you all the coverage you can possibly handle, and even some that you can't, about Maryland Eastern Shore athletics. Hello, everybody. Will DeBoer with you on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net. It is a beautiful Thursday night on the shore. What? Don't look at me funny. It's Thursday. Friday is the last day of the week, and it's tomorrow. It really, really is. Would I lie to you? No, I would not. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given me this job. So, yes, another edition of Hawk Talk Live. It's our last broadcast from the state of Maryland on this calendar year. Next week, we're going to be all the way in West Des Moines, Iowa, from some random hotel lobby, bringing you the last show of the 2017 year. Looking forward to that, to see mainly how in the world we pull that off. But for now, we're in the friendly confines here at M Street Grill, our favorite restaurant in Princess Anne. It's Thursday night, so the happy hour specials every night, but this night as well. 6 wings and fries for $5, 5 mozzarella sticks for $6, 4 chicken fingers for $5, and of course, all those come with fries. I myself had the chicken fingers moments ago, quite delectable, with both barbecue sauce and ranch dressing. Oh, divine. There's also a sandwich special, the Pit Barbecue Sandwich with fries. That is $5.99. $6 if you're rounding up. So here we are, M Street, and we're going to get to you the rundown of Hawk Athletics. Again, just me this week, Will DeBoer. There is no Ricky Pollitt. He's on assignment. Matt McCann is also on assignment. So you get me, and you get this filibustering for about 12 minutes before we welcome our first guest, Bobby Collins, the head basketball coach, men's basketball for the Hawks, on at 6:15. Fred Batchelor from the women's basketball team, the head coach, on at 6:30. And Tori Morris, senior center for the women's basketball team, on at 6:45. But for now, it's time for the general rundown of Hawk Athletics. Men's basketball, 3-8 on the season. They lost a pair of games in Virginia over the weekend. On Friday night, it was a 71-49 loss at Liberty University down there in Lynchburg. Hawks kept up with the Flames for about 16 minutes or so. They had it to within 24-16 with about 4 minutes until the break, and that was the point that everything went sort of cold as ice for Maryland Eastern Shore. It was snowy down there when we were in Lynchburg, and the snow came in, and the Hawks did not score for about 10 minutes spanning the end of the first half going into the second half. Liberty closed out the first half on a 14-0 run, and the Hawks were out of the game pretty much at that point. All 4 post players for the Hawks were in foul trouble by the end of the first half. You had Colin Gaynor, Myron Thomas, Leandre Thomas, and Tyler Jones. All 4 of them had 2 or 3 fouls, so at the very end of the first half, when Liberty went on this run, the tallest guy the Hawks were trotting out there was 6'3", and well, it's kind of easy to find somebody taller than 6'3" if you're the opposition in any situation in basketball, and Liberty was able to take advantage. Hawks, to their credit, though, they did not quit. They haven't quit at all this season. They played the Flames tough in the second half on Friday night. They actually tied Liberty 33-33 over the final 20 minutes. So they went into the half down 22, and they finished down 22, a push over the final 20. Individual performers, Logan McIntosh had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists over 36 minutes to lead the way from Maryland Eastern Shore. And this all after dealing with some hydration issues in the first half. Logan had some trouble when they went into halftime, got the electrolytes he needed, and was able to perform mightily over the second half. So the lesson here, as always, kids, stay hydrated. I cannot stress that often enough. Please, please, for the love of all that is good, stay hydrated. McIntosh had a good game. Tyler Jones with 12 points in 25 minutes. He had 6 rebounds despite the foul trouble. And this is another theme. Eastern Shore, they were got all their fouls pretty much in the first half. Second half, they maintained discipline, were able to put guys out there, and only Leandre Thomas fouled out. Myron Thomas himself, 9 points and 5 rebounds, as well as 5 turnovers in that game. But Maryland Eastern Shore got some good performances out of their players at Liberty. Just came up short against a Flames team that, you know, was a level above. Sunday was a different story at Virginia Tech. The Hokies, a 93-40 win over Maryland Eastern Shore. Against Liberty, they kept up for about 16 minutes. Against Virginia Tech, it was 8 minutes. The teams trading shots back and forth. Hawks were down 16-15 about 8 minutes in, just before the second media timeout. But then a turnover by Ahmad Frost led to an easy bucket for Justin Robinson of the Hokies, and it jump-started a Virginia Tech 18-0 run. Yeah, that's quite a few points. And the Hokies went up 54-22 at the half. So you look at the final score, Virginia Tech essentially finished on a 77-25 run. But they're an ACC school. They're picked to finish in the top half of one of the best basketball conferences in all the nation. Some would say the best. They're a team that last year defeated Duke. They got to the NCAA tournament in 2017 for the first time in 10 years. Hawks, they could do all they could to keep up with the Virginia Tech squad that was a talent level above them and was hot. Let's just face it. They shot rather well. 11 of 17 from 3 in the first half. The right corner of the court at the Castle Coliseum. I wanted to check afterwards. We might need to call Tommy Lee Jones in because there might be a dormant volcano underneath that spot in the Castle Coliseum, because that was where all the Hokies were hitting their three-point shots. And it's tough to keep up when you're a regular college basketball team and for 12 minutes in one game, the opponents become the Golden State Warriors. You know, let's not kid ourselves. But Eastern Shore did all they could. Cam Baycote had a good performance on his birthday. His birthday was Sunday. 12 points and 3 assists. It was his best scoring game, the first time he's been in double digits in the point column since the opening weekend when he went for 28-18 against Valley Forge and Maryland. So Cam Baycote led the way in a spot start as well as Colin Gaynor, the usual sort of three-position player for Maryland Eastern Shore, sat out with an undisclosed injury. It's looking like he may be out for a couple more games, so we'll keep you posted on that. Logan McIntosh and Ahmad Frost with 7 points each in that ballgame as well at Virginia Tech. They were the second leading scorers. Hawks came back. They were off for 3 days. Tomorrow they'll catch an early flight. Well, today, of course. Today is Thursday. Mind you, getting my days mixed up. Today they'll be in the air heading out to Omaha, Nebraska, and Friday night, tomorrow night, they will face the Creighton Blue Jays. Creighton, Big East school, former bracket buster darling, now one of the new royalty in the shuffle that has been the NCAA over the past 5 years or so. That's an 8 o'clock tip time on in this time zone. It's 7 o'clock local in Omaha. Last I checked, central time zone, 1 hour behind eastern time zone, but I grew up in Indiana. Time zones meant nothing. Daylight savings meant nothing. But as far as we know, right now, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, pregame at 7:45 on the Shore Sports Network, which is Fox Sports AM 960. That's a flagship station, sfmsports.net, and our friends at wowthatscountry.com. So that's the game on Friday night, and then it's a double dip in Iowa right before Christmas. Wednesday night's at Iowa State, next Wednesday night, and then next Friday night right before Christmas at Drake, Ames, Iowa, and Des Moines, Iowa. It's going to be a fairly easy trip once they get there. Both games tip at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we will have Hawk Talk Live, as we mentioned, next week from the hotel lobby in the Sheraton Hotel in West Des Moines, Iowa. Fun, fun, fun. They're flying back home after the Drake game, and then the Hawks are back at it again New Year's Eve when they host Central Penn at 3 o'clock. So you can come, get your basketball on, and then go out and enjoy yourself as we ring in 2018. Women's basketball now. Fred Batchelor and company back in town. They've got 3 home games over the next week or so. We'll tell you about that in a moment. The Hawks 1-7 on the season. They've lost seven straight since their season opening win against Valley Forge, but none of these have been gimmies of games. They've all been against top competition. Last weekend, they went to a couple of ACC schools and lost. Wednesday, they went to Virginia Tech themselves a couple days before the men did, lost 90-52 to the Hokies. Fred's bunch there. They went 9-9. They were down. No, they were up, actually. They led after the first quarter, 19-18. Found themselves down 32-25 at the half, but then Virginia Tech came out with second-half adjustments and just blitzed them 39-13 in the third quarter to put it out of reach. Individual performers, Martha Thompson had 12 points, 5-19 shooting. She took a large volume of shots for the Hawks. 4 points, four rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals to go along with those 12 points. Marisha Gill-Miles with 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 18 minutes. She got a little action, but when she was in, she was a game changer. Alexis Hicks with 8 points and 5 turnovers. And then Dominique Walker with 7 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 fouls in 17 minutes. So again, not long for the game, but effective when she was in. Saturday, the Hawks were at Wake Forest, the Demon Deaconettes. I can only assume that's what they're called. 92-50, a loss at Wake Forest on Saturday. Just firmly outsized. Wake Forest was sporting mostly 6-foot players. I would say a good majority of their players were 6 foot tall. Wake, they just pulled away. The analogy you want to use if you're a racing fan, Wake Forest was like an Indy car. And the Hawks were like a stock car that raced in the NASCAR. A NASCAR car is pretty powerful. They can go 180 miles an hour. But when you're going up against an Indy car that goes 240, then it's going to be tough to keep up. And Bobby Collins over there giving me the, what are you doing talking about race cars? You know where you're at, right? But yeah, Coach, we can laugh about that when you come on in a couple minutes here. But let's see. The Hawks were down 20-14 after the first quarter against Wake Forest, 39-25 at the half, and it snowballed from there. Martha Thompson, 23 points to lead the way for the Hawks in 31 minutes. Barisha Gill-Miles had 10 points. The rest of the team combined for just 17. Torrey Morris with 6, Angelique Taylor with 5, Dominique Walker with 4, and then Regine Martin with 2. The women's basketball team here at Eastern Shore, health has been a problem for them as of late. Kiara Eaton returned to action last week, a promising sign. 26 minutes off the bench Wednesday, her first action of the season, but Hawks dealing with a whole host of other injuries. Deanna Godwin has a leg fracture. She's in a boot and no timetable for her return. Jordan Smith missed 2 games in a row last week with an ankle injury that she sustained at George Mason. Kasina Popovich is back from an undisclosed injury. And then CeCe Byram hasn't played yet this year, but there's still a hope that she'll be available for the MEAC season. As we mentioned, the Hawks at home for 3 straight games for once, starting this weekend. Saturday, the Hawks hosting Wesley University. Tuesday, it's Mount St. Mary's. And the next Thursday, UMBC, right before the Christmas holiday. All games, as far as I know, will be broadcast on sfmsports.net. If that's still true, you can catch a 10-minute pregame show 10 minutes before the tip. So 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1:50 pregame. They'll wrap up non-conference play December 28th at East Carolina, and they open MEAC play on January 3rd against Morgan State. That's a double dip up in Baltimore, the men and the women back-to-back. All right, real quick before we head to a commercial, indoor track competed over the weekend at the Seahawks shootout on Staten Island. That's up in New York. The men finished second with 105 points. The women third with 78.5 points. 27 of the Hawks' 48 events were personal records as they came out with a fire, and they performed awfully well on the island. Janoi Brown, the freshman for the men, another great weekend, set the school record in the 300-meter run, which was set last week by himself. He broke a record that was a week old, 35.5 seconds, breaking Gregory Thomas's record that was set in 1981. That was last week, and then Janoi broke his own record a week later, a couple days ago. Other records that were set, you can go to easternshorehawks.com for more information on that. Indoor track's on their Christmas break right now. They'll be back in action January 12th. They'll head back to New York City for the HBCU Invitational. All right, that's the rundown. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Bobby Collins will join us to talk about the Hawks' excursions down in Virginia, and we'll look forward to Creighton, where he's got a personal connection with the assistant to the head coach for the Blue Jays. All that and much more on this fine Thursday night. This is Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake? No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that. All right, see ya!
Here you go, man.
Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Training is about more than muscle. It's about inner strength. So I push myself. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. I train with the best. A team that shares my drive and commitment. We collect intelligence, guard our shores against drug smugglers, and keep our waterways safe. Because our nation expects more. Discover a future that exceeds your expectations. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
In the Mideastern Athletic Conference, success for our student athletes isn't just measured by wins and losses, points on the scoreboard, or individual stats. It's also measured by their performance in the classroom, in the community, and ultimately graduation. Our student athletes aren't just playing to win a single game, they're playing to win at life. Because games end, but life keeps on going. The MEAC, educating student athletes for the game of life.
The Eastern Shore is a perfect place to visit year-round. A gem hidden on the lower shore is the Henson. Located in the heart of Princess Anne on the picturesque campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the Henson is the perfect choice for campus visits, business trips, reunions, meetings, and relaxing getaways. Check into the Henson and we'll take care of the rest. Book online at umes.edu/Henson.
Celebrate the holiday season in Somerset County with unique events for the entire family. Shop local for special holiday incentives and a wide selection of gift items. Ring in the new year in downtown Princess Anne with the annual Midnight Muskrat Dive December 31st. Marshall P. Muskrat invites you to experience the fun with live music, contests, food, and spirits. Downtown merchants and vendors will be open late. Check out visitsomerset.com for more information. Somerset County, a great place to celebrate.
If you're looking for some good old-fashioned fun with a new twist, Southbound Alley in Salisbury is the place to be. With delicious food and drink specials, 20 lanes of bowling, and the best arcade and billiards room in town, Southbound Alley is a great place to bring the whole family. Southbound Alley has private rooms ready for your next event, holidays, birthdays, business outings, and more. Located in Salisbury on Southbound Route 13 across from Fruitland Walmart. Call for details or like us on Facebook. Southbound Alley in Salisbury is the place to be.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
And we're back, Hawk Talk Live, right here at M Street Grill. We hope that you're enjoying your evening wherever you are listening, whether it's locally in Princess Anne or Salisbury, you're all across the globe on sfmsports.net. Second segment, so as always, we'll welcome my first guest of the evening, Bobby Collins, head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball. Hi, Coach.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Fantastic. Good to have you back again.
Good. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So jumping right in here, a tough weekend against two tough opponents down in Virginia, Liberty and Virginia Tech, certainly no slouches. What did you see that you liked from your team over those two games?
Well, we definitely did not give up. Virginia Tech, you know, they ran like a machine. I thought that that was the best shooting team that I ever coached against. It was just incredible the way that they pushed the ball and shot the ball within 10 seconds of them crossing the half court line. We prepared for it, but you really can't prepare for a team that shoot the ball as well as they shoot it and as athletic as they are. They have two-way players. Every player on the floor was capable of knocking down a three. Every team on the floor was capable of driving the ball to the hole. So you had to pick your poison, and they were extremely talented.
Absolutely. You look at their numbers, and they scored 93 points on Sunday. Their scoring average actually went down. They averaged close to 97 a game.
Well, late to country. We were trying to let the air out the basketball because, obviously, we could not hit shots for whatever reason. You know, the road has been very brutal to us and haven't been treating us very fair, but we try to let the air out of the ball and limit their opportunities of shooting their threes and making their threes. But we did the best we could. And I thought our guys gave an absolute great effort. I'm obviously asking for more. I want more. I think we're capable of more. You know, that role is really hard, especially when the odds are against you. When you go there, you have 20,000 fans screaming and you're against the eight ball already. You know, when we come home, I think we have some of the greatest fans. We have the greatest band. We have the greatest cheerleaders. We have the greatest dancers. They do a great job for us. So we are so excited when we come home and have an opportunity to play in front of our fans.
I'm into that. December 31st just can't get here soon enough. But you were saying, yeah, the team never quit. I haven't seen them quit all year. And the games seem to follow a basic pattern when the Hawks get in there. They stay with them for maybe half of the first half. I think in Liberty was about 16 minutes. Virginia Tech, it was about eight, and then a cold spell hit, or the other team just really heats up, and that's when they would pull away and take all the momentum into halftime.
Well, I tell you, the four guys that we're missing now, five, with Colin Gaynor being out, you know, he's out, you know, I don't know until how long, but when you don't have a Ryan Andino who can make shots, when you don't have a Dante Caldwell who's capable of creating his own shot, when you don't have an Isaac Taylor who we can go inside and get an inside basket, those guys are sorely missed. Instead, now we reflect them back up on freshmen. They're capable, but they just don't know how yet. Mm-hmm. So those guys are missing, especially when we go into scoring droughts, because we've always had something that we can go to. Ryan and Dino could have gone off for a number of shots back-to-back. You know, Isaac Taylor, again, we could just go inside to him, and he could either get us to the free throw line or he'd knock down the shot. But what we were missing is like a Dante Caldwell who could create his own shot and that can get steals and make things happen. And that's how you break those scoring droughts. And we've been going into a scoring drought every game that we play, especially on the road. So we got to find a way to get through those scoring droughts. And I've asked our guys to do some certain things. I asked Logan McIntosh to really pick it up. And I asked, of course, Amon Frost to do some things. But we were playing hard. If our fans were on the road and they were watching this, they would be proud at the effort and the never quit attitude our guys have.
Looking for the scoring options there, Cam Baycote, he had 12 points against Virginia Tech, and you know, 12, it led the team, but it was also his best game in a month since the very beginning of the season. It seems to be, you know, the way it is for a Major League Baseball player when he first comes up. He's a world beater for the first 2 weeks, and the rest of the league adjusts. Then he's got to make an adjustment as well. But do you think that Cam has figured that out and is making his adjustment and is about to get into a hot streak?
Well, Cam Baco definitely have the potential to be a knockdown shooter and a scorer for us. He's still trying to find his way. And, you know, this role, like I said, the role has been very brutal to us. So he haven't really found out how to travel and have weary legs and still find a way to compete. You know, it's just difficult for him. And I'm trying to get him to understand. And now he's starting to come around into his own. I told him when we get into conference play, it may not be 20,000, but it is as brutal. It is as hostile. So he's going to have to learn how to play in hostile environments and still be able to perform at a high level for us in order for us to be successful.
Oh,
we definitely need Cam Baco's to play up to his full potential in order for us to be successful. You know, the one thing that I've been really selling to our team is to not give up. Keep a positive attitude. Keep a positive mindset. Remember, you're playing for your why, which is your purpose in life. You know, my why is my son. So every day I wake up in the morning, I work hard for him. And that's my driving force. And I try to remind them of that, because it's difficult going out on this road and going into these hostile environments. And it's easy for a coach to lose his team during this time. And I keep reminding them, really, for us, it's about those three games in March.
Being the MEAC tournament, of course. And, yes. You know, you mentioned MEAC play, where it may not be the 20,000 every night, but it gets loud. I remember some of those trips last year. Bethune-Cookman, it's a gym, but they packed them in there, and, oh, man, it got loud. And that made it even more satisfying, silencing all of them during that big comeback down
there. Absolutely. You know, Bethune-Cookman have a football team. So they have the whole football team there. They have the whole band, traveling band. I think they maybe have 150 to 200 fan members.
Oh, that's a famous band.
It is an incredible atmosphere. I think they only seat about maybe 2,000 people, but there's every bit of 2,000 people in there with a hostile environment, and it's a great place to play. We've been very fortunate to go there and win some close games, and it's just the way it's been when we go to Bethune-Cookman.
We're talking with Bobby Collins, head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball. On the road again this weekend, tomorrow night, Friday night, a matchup at Creighton. Another tough opponent, Big East, and like Virginia Tech, another great shooting team. They shoot 52%. They got their 1-2 punch, Marcus Foster with 19 points a game and Kyrie Thomas with 16 points a game. So seems like the same sort of blueprint for Virginia Tech ought to apply in some ways to Creighton.
Yes, well, I can tell you that those two kids are bulldogs. They really, really are tough kids. When you talk about two-way players, they can do it on the offensive end. But their strong point is the defensive end.
Oh, boy.
They're not just players. I mean, they're physically tough. They're right around maybe 215 to 220. They're just physical specimens, and those are my kind of players. Not only are they a two-way player, they're smart. And that's why Creighton has beaten UCLA. They're probably in the top 25 now as we speak. So we're looking forward to going up there and competing and playing with them. And I also have a common...
Yes, that's right. You got the personal interest in going to Creighton. Their assistant to the head coach for Greg McDermott. Again, I've never seen that title before, but assistant to the head coach is Steve Merfell, the former Hampton head coach, one of your mentors back in the 90s and the early 2000s. He was the head coach of the Pirates when you were an assistant. You got his job when he left in the summer of 2002. I'm sure you're looking forward to seeing him again and playing against him.
Yes. Steve Merfell, we have a lot of history. I came to Hampton in 94-95 season and with Byron Samuels. Byron Samuels left and went to Tennessee as an assistant coach. And the job was now Steve Merfell's, which was our associate head coach at the time. We had a phenomenal run there, got to the Final 32. We had some success, and he was able to move on and get the job at Evansville. Mm-hmm. And when he left, Dr. Harvey called me at 6 a.m. I was telling the story this morning how he called me at 6 a.m. and said, "Hey, Coach, Steve Merfell just took the job at Evansville. I want you to be my next head coach." I tell you, I don't know if I was ready or not, but I embraced it. I accepted it, and I've been going ever since. Obviously, I won a championship there. I was coach of the year there. I've done a lot of good things at Hampton University to move on to Winston-Salem State and now here at Maryland Eastern Shore. And I'm extremely proud and happy to have this opportunity, but none of this would have taken place, you know, if Steve Merfell wouldn't given me or endorsed me with this opportunity to be a head coach. He is a phenomenal X and O guy, phenomenal. And you look at the way Creighton plays, I told my coach, I said, "Coach, we can't guard all the things that they run because he does such a great job on X and O's. They're going to run a lot of stuff and because that's what he does, and he's done a great job." And I've embraced his philosophy, and I've had a lot of success with the way he has taught me. So he's a great influence to me in my coaching career.
You were mentioning you got that phone call and, you know, didn't think you'd be ready. It seems, from an outsider's perspective, being a head coach is one of those things where you never really feel like you're exactly ready to do it when it comes, but you take it anyway. So with that in mind, after being Steve's assistant for many years, what do you feel that did for you to get you ready to be a head coach for the first time?
Well, the good thing about Coach Murphy's philosophy, he allowed me to coach. He allowed me to do on-the-floor stuff. He allowed me to speak in the locker room. And so when he left, I was already prepared, because he already gave me a lot of the responsibilities as a head coach. And it did not, you know, when we had issues or problems, I dealt with those issues and problems. So when I became the head coach, I didn't panic because I've already dealt with those things before. And all I needed to do is just get the right coaching staff around me. I did that. We had some success. I was able to win the MEAC championship. I was able to be coach of the year and did some great things because I still kept the philosophy that he taught me and the same thing that he was doing. So nothing really changed very much after he left and gave me the head coaching job.
All right, Coach. Thanks for joining us again this week. I know you're looking forward to Friday night. We're certainly looking forward to it. And we'll talk to you again somewhere in Iowa next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Bobby Collins, everybody. Maryland Eastern Shore head coach. Hawks take on Creighton Friday night, 8 o'clock here on the shore. We'll have the pregame at 7:45. Next week, Wednesday, is Iowa State. And then Friday is Drake. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, last half of the show here on Hawk Talk Live, we'll have Fred Batchelor, the head coach of Maryland Eastern Shore women's basketball, Tori Morris, the center from that team, right after that. This is the Shore Sports Network on sfmsports.net.
Hello, I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake? No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that. All right, see ya!
Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Committed to serving you even better, McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center in Princess Anne. Stop by when you need us and experience our expanded services, including 3D mammography for advanced early detection of breast cancer. Conveniently located next to Food Lion in Princess Anne and open 7 days a week from 10 to 8. Most insurance plans are accepted and no appointments are needed at McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center. McCready Health, with you for life.
Hey Hawks fans, season tickets are on sale now. Visit umestickets.com to get your basketball season tickets. Stop by the athletic office, go online, or check your mailbox. Get your Maryland Eastern Shore tickets. There's no better place to be this basketball season than the Hytch, cheering your Hawks on towards a conference championship. Get your Maryland Eastern Shore basketball season tickets now at umestickets.com. Support Eastern Shore Athletics, because after all, this is our shore and our team.
Do you need Duracell batteries this coming holiday season? Maybe not. Maybe you could trust your kids will be just as happy without them. Maybe you could trust they won't remember you as the parents who spent this Christmas morning driving to a mini mall to get the batteries you forgot while wearing a robe. Or you could just trust Duracell and buy them right now.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T Prepaid is the perfect holiday gift, according to Marshall and Viv.
When you switch to AT&T Prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
And when you switch to AT&T Prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
I said that.
Happy holidays?
AT&T Prepaid has no annual contracts.
It's going on my holiday list for sure.
And AT&T's reliable network.
The AT&T network.
There's no hidden fees.
No credit checks.
No compromises.
No strings attached.
AT&T Prepaid has plans for people who like great deals.
Plans for people who love gift giving.
Flexibility.
Reliability.
All the abilities.
AT&T Prepaid is for people in places where it snows a lot, like Syracuse.
And plans for people in places where it snows not a lot, like Miami.
I love snow.
That makes one of us.
The list is long.
Really long.
This holiday season, switch to AT&T Prepaid to get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free. And all the advantages of AT&T's reliable network with no compromises. In stores or at att.com/prepaid.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Requires new line of service, $45, $65 plan and auto pay. Reliable network claim for third-party sources, fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
And we're back on Hawk Talk Live. Will DeBoer with you, Director of Broadcasting here at Maryland Eastern Shore. Bottom of the hour from M Street Grill. Hope you can join us for fun for the rest of the show. Happy hour ends at 7 o'clock. You can get your drink specials as well as the wings, mozzarella sticks, chicken fingers, all in the $5 and $6 range. Dinner special tonight, the pit barbecue sandwich with French fries. All right, we've talked men's basketball. Let's get into women's basketball for the next half hour, starting with a man long gone from this show, but he's back right now, Fred Batchelor, head coach for Maryland Eastern Shore women's basketball.
Hey, Will, how you doing? Good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. I was worried that you got frozen in the ice somewhere up in Alaska.
Yeah, we've been on the road for a while, so it's good to be home.
Yep, a long time, seven games in a row since the opener against Valley Forge. Played tough in all of them, came up on the short end. I know it's got to be tough on the players to go through a seven-game losing streak, even if it is in the name of getting better for MEAC season. So what do you tell them or have them do to stay positive in the midst of a schedule like this?
It is challenging. It's challenging for the kids having to play seven straight road games against, you know, three ACC teams and one program that was probably as good as any of those teams in Buffalo, being the preseason number one in the MAC. It's been challenging, and to go out to Alaska and play in a great environment and have an opportunity to have some success but fall short, and to kind of keep them motivated. And I think it's the one thing about it is no place like home. So it's nice to get back home to be able to do that. And I think we've gotten through the toughest part of our season, and we've been fortunate that we haven't had any major injuries. And I've been able to sustain our bodies and come back home and be able to compete at a high level after what we experienced. So I think that, you know, the thing is, you know, really just trying to get them to look at the fact that every time we step on the floor, we want to get better and accepting the challenge. You know, we looked up, we're playing in certain arenas and we're looking at the teams that play in this arena, and we're talking about the highest level of collegiate basketball in the world, basically. Mm-hmm. And to have an opportunity to compete at that level, you know, it's got to be exciting, but it gets overwhelming at times, and sometimes we experience that.
I'm sure. I mean, Castle Coliseum in Virginia Tech, we were there over the weekend. That's an enormous place. The Carrier Dome. Oh, the Carrier Dome of all places in Syracuse. 30,000 people can fit in that arena, and you guys are playing it. I'm sure that's a sense of there's that great scene in Hoosiers when Hickory shows up to Hinkle Fieldhouse at Butler for the first time, and they sort of need a tape measure to say, okay, it's still 10 feet tall, it's still 15 feet away. That's just like our gym there in Hickory.
That's right. That's right. And it was similar to that. It's just the depth perception is something to deal with. I'd like to see that be measured in regard to how he was able to do that. That was a little challenging. But it was, you know, particularly at Syracuse, you know, we're down three at the half. We played a really, really solid 20 minutes of basketball, and we just couldn't sustain the ability to score. But we really competed. You know, Syracuse is one of the top rebounding teams in the country, and we out-rebounded them. We had more offensive rebounds than they had. And that was – so we try to find little challenges that we could have some success with, even if it's not the final score. And we were able to do that on many occasions with playing some of the top teams in the country. So I was that was something that, you know, when we come back, we look at it, we look at the 20 minutes of basketball we played at Syracuse, where we cut their signature defense apart and made them do something different that a lot of teams that they play have never made them do. And then even going into, you know, Virginia Tech and just before the half, being up, you know. So we find little things that we did well against some of the best competition, and hopefully that type of play can carry over when we're doing that for 40 minutes in the future of the season.
Yeah, it strikes me the women's team is playing a lot like the men's team is playing, where they're outmatched, but they're never giving up. And like you said, the Virginia Tech game, they were close at halftime. The Syracuse game, you were down just three, and it was just eventually the other team wore them down and were just able to pull away like an Indy car would from a stock car. And there I go back to car analogies again. I'm sure Bobby's like, what in the world is he talking about? But I know that there must have been some things that you're definitely proud of and you've seen the team improve on from the Buffalo game up until now.
Yeah, and like you said, a lot of times that was the first 20 minutes. You know, we were down, I think, 9 at George Mason. We're down 3 at Syracuse. We're down maybe 4 at Virginia Tech. We're down 12, I think, at Wake Forest. You know, so but over a period of time, it just the size and the athleticism and the depth kind of wears on you. And then you're playing on the road. And that's another thing that we don't really factor in. There is such thing as a home whistle that a lot of teams are able to get. And then you're playing above your head to begin with. You know, we played at Virginia Tech, and we didn't take a free. We took one free throw, I believe, in 32 minutes.
Oof.
And we shot five on the game, where they shot 28 free throws. And, you know, we had 30-something points in the paint, which dictates that we were scoring inside. So and when you don't, and this is not a complaint about officiating, it's just the challenges of playing on the road. And when you don't get that benefit of the doubt, which you're not going to get on the road, it just makes it that much more tougher to overcome, and especially when you're playing a superior opponent.
We're talking to Fred Batchelor, women's basketball head coach at Maryland Eastern Shore. You mentioned the health of the team in the first question there. No major injuries. I know that some folks are dinged up, of course. Kiara Eaton is back again after missing the first month or so. Jordan Spence dealing with the ankle injury. Deanna Godwin's out for a while. Kasina Popovich had the undisclosed thing. And then Cece, at least as far as I last heard, still on track for the MEAC schedule. Is that accurate? And maybe if you could just give the overall picture of Hawk health.
Yeah, I mean, when you bring up that many issues, I have to try to tackle them one by one. I know the first one being CCCC practice tonight. She's just been cleared for 5-on-5.
Excellent.
So we're, you know, her progress is going to be, you know, as seen by our trainer. And she's excited to get back out on the floor, and I'm optimistic that she's going to be competing on the floor in game time very soon. I don't think any of us have an exact timetable for it, but, you know, being home for the next three games, it gives us a chance to kind of monitor her progress with practices and things like that. So we're optimistic to have her back. Kiki was back. Kiki played in her second game back, but it was a little tough. You know, she hadn't played basketball for, you know, 6 weeks, mm-hmm. 6 to 8 weeks. So to not play basketball and then get cleared and able to play and then 2 weeks expected to play, you know, at a great level was a real challenge for her. She still hasn't found her rhythm.
0-63.5.
Yeah. So it's going to be a minute for her to get back into the flow of things as is for CeCe. And then Kasina was back on the floor after a foot sprain, and she's been back. She played the last two games. Dayana's out for a while. She's going to be out for a couple of weeks, and we'll find out whether or not that's going to go beyond that, that timetable. And then we had Jordan, who sat out the last couple of games, and she probably could have played, which wouldn't have been the best thing on Saturday, but we felt like a week's rest on that ankle would, you know, kind of hopefully make her better for the year. So we're optimistic she practiced tonight for the first time full go, and we're optimistic that she's going to be able to play on Saturday. So for the most part, you know, we have everyone in place or expecting what we expected, and to be able to get off the floor and have everybody in one piece. I mean, off the practice floor these days and have everybody in one piece. I'm thankful and grateful and looking forward to competing with them healthy.
And with Jordan Smith especially, that seems to be the right choice. MEAC schedule, of course, is the one that everybody has in mind. But Jordan especially so important to this team. Looking at the scoring numbers, at least, the top three scorers for you guys are all newcomers. You got Martha Thompson, Barisha Gill-Miles, the freshman, and then Jordan Smith, the top three in scoring. Things are really coming together around them, and you don't want to push one of those triumvirate.
Yeah, I hadn't realized that. I know Jordan was leading us in scoring at one point before she went down, but we've been really getting really good play from Gill. She's been for a freshman, it's been great having her and having her, you know, have an impact that she's had. And then I thought Marty had a great weekend, two game against Virginia Tech and Wake Forest, back-to-back 20-point games. So, you know, with the kids that we have, the returners that we have that are getting healthy, and when we get in rhythm at the right time, I think it, you know, those things, to see those three kids leading us in scoring and having that impact, I think is only going to make us a better team.
Back at home for three games in a row, the first time since the opener against Valley Forge. It's Wesley on Saturday, Mount St. Mary's on Tuesday, UMBC next Thursday. As far as your team goes and being at home for the first time since antiquity, it seems like if I'm Wesley, I don't want to be Wesley on Saturday afternoon knowing that what I'm going to face from Maryland Eastern Shore.
Well, I think the kids will be excited to be home, and we're going to try to take advantage of that. I think they've learned to appreciate what home court means, and hopefully we can, you know, coming through exams and practicing, having a crazy exam schedule, practice schedule. Hopefully we can be in the right place on Saturday and make that come to fruition.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, I know we were talking about this earlier in the day, but the weekend in football, Saturday had that great Army-Navy game where it was in the snow and Army's able to hold on. But Sunday up in Buffalo, if you could even tell what was going on, there was a football game being played. Your Bills defeating the Colts in overtime. Indy had the white uniforms on, and you could barely even see them on the television. And that, I know for you, that's football. That's what you grew up with.
Well, I just knew we better win that game, having that type of weather on our home field. But it did, like I told you, it reminded me of growing up in Buffalo. We played like that. We played in that snow, and we would bundle up and play 3-on-3 and 4-on-4 and street against street in the snow, and it really made it exciting. So we made, when you live in those conditions, you got to make the best of it. So I was glad to see McCoy be able to get that runoff, that walk-off touchdown to win the game, because that would have been a tough one to swallow after getting the type of weather that I think would help us against anybody coming in there.
Oh, yeah, that's sort of weather. I mean, you could think, oh, the guy's high-stepping when he goes in the end zone. Well, yeah, he has to. He's got snow up to his thighs, you know. He needs to high-step, otherwise he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, you got to get over that. It's an element you learn to deal with. It makes great for great catches, you know, falling away catches and just jumping in the air and coming down with the football. And that brought back days of when I was a child, how we used to play and enjoy the weather, because you had to find a way to enjoy it because it was coming regardless or not.
Mm-hmm. Fred Batchelor, everybody, we'll let him go so he can reminisce on the past and snow football and all that. But, Coach, thanks for joining us. All the best at home for this week here, and we'll talk to you again in the new year in time for the MEAC schedule.
Thanks, Will. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Fred Batchelor, everybody. We'll take a break, come back. Final segment of the show, Tori Morris is here. She'll be on to talk all things women's basketball. She's one of the senior leaders on the team this year. So final segment of the show coming up next. This is Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and SFMSports.net.
Hello. I'm your waiter, Serge. Would you like to hear the specials? Do they include any wings, hot and cold sandwiches, and Smith Island cake? No, you'll have to go to M Street Grill for that. All right, see ya! Hawks fans, you want to sink your teeth into great food and watch the game, right? Make M Street Grill your new home. It's a sports bar and restaurant conceived by hospitality and tourism management program students and owned by a Hawk alumni. M Street Grill in the Princess Anne University Village, 410-621-5040.
Training is about more than muscle. It's about inner strength. So I push myself. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. I train with the best. A team that shares my drive and commitment. We collect intelligence, guard our shores against drug smugglers, and keep our waterways safe. Because our nation expects more. Discover a future that exceeds your expectations. Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Committed to serving you even better. McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center in Princess Anne. Stop by when you need us and experience our expanded services, including 3D mammography for advanced early detection of breast cancer. Conveniently located next to Food Lion in Princess Anne and open 7 days a week from 10 to 8. Most insurance plans are accepted and no appointments are needed at McCready Health Immediate Care and Imaging Center. McCready Health, with you for life.
The Eastern Shore is a perfect place to visit year-round. A gem hidden on the lower shore is the Henson. Located in the heart of Princess Anne on the picturesque campus of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the Henson is the perfect choice for campus visits, business trips, reunions, meetings, and relaxing getaways. Check into the Henson and we'll take care of the rest. Book online at umes.edu/Henson.
Hear that? That's the sound of speechless. Like when you give her an unforgettable gift from Jared the Galleria of Jewelry. Whether it's one of the hundreds of new pieces in our collection, one of the exclusive pieces you can only find at Jared, or a custom piece we create just for you, Jared is the place to find the gift.
I love it.
That takes her breath away. And that's why he went to Jared.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
Now, back to Hawk Talk Live from M Street Grill in Princess Anne on the Hawk Sports Network.
We are back. Final segment of Hawk Talk Live for the week here at M Street Grill. We've talked to Bobby Collins, we've talked to Fred Batchelor, and our final guest of the evening, a senior center coming direct from Hendren, Virginia, by way of Grand Canyon University. Please welcome Tori Morris.
Hi, hello.
Hi, Tori. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Yep. Last time we were going to have you on right before the season started, there was a sort of a communication breakdown, but
yes.
You're here
yes.
now. So glad that you could be here. And on a big week for you, I know, not just with the team being at home, but about to be a college graduate.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you're graduating this semester then, but you mentioned you're not going to walk tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, I chose not to walk. I just feel like it's just not necessary right now, and I need to focus on the season more. You know, we are 0-7, and my focus should be basketball. It's great that I did graduate and I did get my diploma, though.
That's good. That's good. What's the degree in?
Biology.
Biology. Oh, you are far braver than I. That is, I took it easy. I was a humanities guy. I mean, when everybody else was like chem lab and bio lab and stuff, it's like, okay, you go do that. I'm just gonna read.
Yeah, we had my physics final today, so.
All right. Well, hope that your brain's not fried from that, and we can have a good show here. But the team 1-7. You know, you're shortchanging yourself here. You had the win at the very beginning of the season against Valley Forge, but. A record may not indicate exact success, but you know you got to dig deeper than that, of course. How do you feel that the season has gone so far this year?
I feel like it's just been a learning experience the whole way through. You know, we're building constantly each and every day, and each and every day we're learning each other.
There you go. So you've gotten used to the gist of the first couple of months, how it works at Maryland Eastern Shore, a small college, handful of games at home, but it's mixed into a road-heavy schedule, including 7 in a row, some as far away as Alaska. Has it gotten easier for you as the years have gone, knowing what to expect, or has it gotten harder because, well, you know what to expect?
I've always just been the type of person that likes to travel, so I actually rather play away than play at home. Okay. But it has definitely gotten harder over the years because of classes, because your academics are now harder than what it was freshman year.
Mm-hmm. Kind of hard to ship the test tubes and the graduated cylinders halfway across the country.
Right. Yeah.
And they don't let you take that on airplanes.
Right.
You know, that's not for a while anyway. What are some of your favorite road memories from, I guess, both this year and years past?
My favorite road memory? Probably Alaska.
Yeah. I don't blame you for that.
Yeah, definitely. It was Alaska. We all went to this dog sledding to see them dog sled. And,
really?
My whole team thought that we were going to actually get in the dog sled and, like, experience it.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. So we just all huddled together. And that was, like, it was just funny because mm-hmm. we, like, all had to huddle together and be upset together.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever been to Alaska before?
I had not. It was never on my bucket list. It was not one of the things I wanted to do.
But you were there, and now you can say, I've been to Alaska.
I've been to Alaska, and it's really cold.
That's going to show up on all the brain teasers if you join other organizations. That's, okay, write something on a card, and then we're going to disperse them. It's like, oh, who's been to Alaska? Ah, okay. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, let's see. Game-wise, of course, playing against tough competition, Power 5 competition in a lot of instances, ACC the last couple of games. What's something that you've been working on in your own game over these first couple months?
I've been working on trying to shoot more outside shots because teams are leaving me open, and I know I can shoot it, so I'm trying to, you know, actually shoot the ball instead of passing it up.
And you've got that great move inside where I got that visual of the Hampton game from last year, right baseline cutting across the paint to left and left-handed layup. And that seems to be your move. We haven't seen the team in a while. Is that still your move?
Yeah, going left, I really do like to go left. Probably go left 90% of the time, and I'm right-handed.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. You got to be the ambidextrous. Ambidextrous yeah. helps. And I know, Coach, you're over there in the chef's table. I hope we didn't spoil anything by saying, yeah, that's Tori's move.
I'm sure they got it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Synergy already broke it down for them.
Yeah, yeah. And frankly, if you're Wesley or UMBC or Matt and you're listening to the show right now, what, you got nothing else going on? I mean, really? Yeah, trashing the own audience. Yes, that's a wonderful way to keep the audience well. Okay, let's see. You're a returner, of course. There's a lot of new players on this year. Some of them freshmen, some of them grad transfers. You've been a transfer yourself, coming back from Grand Canyon University. How does it feel for a new player to come in, not at the very beginning of their career, and sort of mix themselves into the culture?
I feel like as a transfer coming not from the beginning, it's kind of hard because you're used to old systems and what old coaches used to do. And sometimes when things don't work, you don't feel like you should trust in the process because of you've seen it differently. But then, like, as time goes on, you learn to trust in your coach, and then you learn to trust in the system, and then everything comes together.
How long did it take you to trust the system here at Eastern Shore?
It took me all the way until we went to MEACs in March of my first year.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good time to get it together then.
Right. Yeah. It was kind of like the time where it was like, you kind of got to get it. You got to trust it. You're going to play next year.
There you go. This team dealt with injuries, a lot of them stemming from last year and just carried over. But Kiara Eaton's back now. Kasim Popovich is back. CeCe's on track, it looks like, for a few games from now. It must feel like things are starting to come together for this team, even though losing streak right now. Things are going to come together in time for MEACs.
Right, yeah, it does. It definitely seems like things are tying together for MEACs, but at the same time, I'm not looking to that so much because we did start out so great last year and then everything did fall apart at the end. So we're just trying to take everything one day at a time.
Yeah, so maybe it'll be the mirror inverse this year.
Right.
You know, things a bit slow start and then they'll heat up again when the calendar
right.
turns.
Maybe we start out bad, then we'll just finish fantastic when MEACs.
Oh, certainly take that. We would say certainly take that. The matchups in the MEAC that you're looking most forward to, you've seen the whole league a couple of times now, been to just about everywhere, I would think. So you have a general feel of who's who and where's where. So what stands out the most on this schedule coming up?
I think Hampton's always going to be a good test for us. They're a good team, and they can be beaten on any given time, but it depends if you show up. Bethune would be another good one. Granted, I haven't looked, but I think they're like in the top for the non-conference league right now. So that would be a good test for us too. And then my personal would be A&T because I just think I'm better than their post player. So
there you go. Well, we're playing A&T twice this year. We got them in town January 20th. We're going down there on February 19th, visiting Bethune-Cookman on February 10th. Hampton's in town. That's that first home conference weekend. And again, Hampton and Bethune-Cookman, that was the strange part of the season last year. The team finished 11th in MEAC play, but two of the wins were against Bethune. It was their only league loss, and then Hampton, which eventually won the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people didn't know at that Bethune game, I was the one that gave Mariah the assist to win it all.
That's right. That's right. See, you forget about that, but then you go back and look at the tapes like, yeah, somebody had to give her that
right.
pass there. And that's Mariah McCoy's shot at the end of the Bethune game. That was one of the thrilling games of the year. Hampton was one of the thrilling
Hampton
games.
Hampton was definitely a thrilling
game. I think he had
game.
Like 12 points in that one. Mm-hmm. And to be down by as much as
21 points
with about 15 minutes to play.
Yeah.
And to come back and to beat a Hampton team that does not lose on
their
home floor.
I think they
floor.
Were undefeated at that point in
yeah.
conference.
And undefeated no longer. So
right.
if you're the MEAC and if you're listening again with nothing else to do tonight, you know, Eastern Shore is not going to roll over for you. You're going to have to play them tough because they will play you tough.
Right.
This we know, and, well, you probably know as well. All right, Tori, we're running out of show here, but any other thoughts? I guess your ideal way of finishing your college career here?
My ideal way of finishing college career is actually making an all-conference team and winning MEACs.
Certainly in reach this year. Tori Morris, everybody, Maryland Eastern Shore Women's Basketball Center. Teams at home starting Saturday at 2 o'clock against Wesley. Hope you can come out and enjoy some quality basketball. Tori, thanks for joining us.
Thank
best
you.
Best luck the rest of the year. And on that note, that is it for Hawk Talk Live this week. I want to thank our guests. We had Bobby Collins from men's basketball, Fred Batchelor from women's basketball, and Tori Morris just moments ago also from women's basketball. Breaking down the weekend schedule. schedule for you. It's kind of thin sports-wise. Bowling is off until 2018. Indoor track is off until 2018. But you still got a double dip of basketball. Friday night, tomorrow night, the men's basketball team is at Creighton, taking on the Blue Jays. That's one word, Blue Jays. They don't separate it. They condense it all together. Creighton Blue Jays, Friday night. Yeah, Coach, you didn't know that, did you? There you go. That's a 8 o'clock tip time in this time zone, 7 o'clock local in Omaha, Nebraska. We'll have pregame coverage from Omaha at 7:45 Eastern Standard Time. Women's basketball at home, the first of three in a row on Saturday afternoon against Wesley. Tip is at 2 o'clock from the Heights Center. I believe we'll have a broadcast for that game. If we do, then it's 1:50 pregame on sfmsports.net. You can check out easternshorehawks.com for more information about Eastern Shore Athletics and just confirmation from Steve Clendenin. Yep, they are broadcasting that game. Speaking of Steve Clendenin, he's our radio producer as always. You can visit sfmsports.net for all your local sports coverage on the shore. Jacob Bremblay, our video producer this week, he'll be with us for a couple of more weeks here as the semester's gone into hiatus. Look for the rebroadcast of this on the social media pages this weekend. And my invisible co-host, Invisible Ted. Glad to have him. We're back on the air next Thursday, the 21st, from somewhere in Iowa. Until then, on behalf of all of us here at M Street Grill, this is Will DeBoer saying so long and a pleasant good evening to you from the shore. This is Hawk Talk Live on the Shore Sports Network and sfmsports.net.